This summer, God said there'd be two things he's going to bring to this house. The fire of God. How many of you guys felt that fire today? Come on. It was fire. There's a fire that is being released for our house, and it's a fire that we may know him better. It's a fire that reveals his face to us so that we would know him. And you know, a lot of guys, we say the word intimacy, and a lot of guys struggle because we always automatically think that that's sexual. Listen, guys have intimacy all the time. That's when we get together, we tell stuff to one another. We go like, dude, man, I was feeling this way the other day. I was like, yeah, me too. That's intimacy. It's you seeing into me and me seeing into you and engaging in that way. Just as a bond of brothers. So when you hear the word intimacy, don't freak out. It's okay. He comes to me as a brother. He comes to me as someone that I can rely on and lean on. And he's coming with this fire that we may know his face, but he's also coming with a fire that we may know his hand, that we would know his works, that we will be able to do the greater works because the fire is burning in us, and we can't let the sick stay sick. We can't let the dead stay dead. We can't let the oppressed stay oppressed. The fire burns us and it says, come on, go in Jesus' name. That's what the fire is for, so that we may know his hands, that we may have a deeper revelation and a manifestation of his love. And it's a fire that comes to reveal what it's like to love one another as family. Because that's the other thing God is saying. He says, I want to turn you into an actual family that reflects my family in heaven. That's where we're going. That's what he wants to do. This thing we call the ecclesia, this thing that's the transformational force that invades every place with the kingdom of God, this thing is done as family. We are in the family business of transformation, but we're still a family. Family is one who reveals what the family of heaven looks like. And that's done through local bodies. Some people say, well, I am part of the family of God. Listen, dude, if you're not connected to other people, you're not. Don't be ethereal about your position in the greater church of Jesus Christ. You got to get connected somewhere and be rubbing shoulder to shoulder with someone and be connected to people, because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's when we are truly family, or we're just speaking blah, blah, blah. Because God is saying, I want to reflect the family of heaven in a local family, in something that can be observed and seen and entered into, where there is a covenant that puts on display what honor looks like and what true love looks like. It's the beauty of being committed to one another and committed to our Father in agape love. The love that he has given us. The love that we're just returned back to him, because the more that he gives us that love, the more that we realize, oh, that's what love looks like. And I need to just enter into that love. And I mean, I want you to turn your Bibles to John, 1 John 4. We're going to read there in a minute. But the things that I just mentioned, this whole thing about love and covenant and honor, these are the foundations for Christian relationship, for kingdom relationships, for family relationship in the kingdom. The highway, The veins for that is love and covenant and honor. And to really establish this is to really know the relationship that the God has with one another. It's all about entering into that relationship that Jesus was speaking about when he was praying in the garden, when he was pouring out his heart to the Father in John 17. I want you to listen to that, because I'm going to go ahead and put that up there. This is what Jesus is praying. He's praying this awesome, amazing prayer. And in that prayer, he says, I do not just ask on behalf of these alone. Who's he talking about? His immediate disciples right there, physically, who were with him, the 12, the 75, the 500 who were following him. But for those who would believe through the words, that's us, that they would be all one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus came that we could enter into the same relationship he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's saying that you would learn how to enter into this place so that you are in the Father as I am in the Father, and in one another as I am in you. We'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. But we are in the season of transition to understand what this means. I said this a while ago. I prophesied we are moving from community to family. See, for a long time, the church is saying, hey, we need to be in community. But here's the problem with community as we have known it on the earth. It's common union with people who are common with us in a place where I have a need and an expectation. Oh, that community would meet that need. Oh, that community would satisfy this thing. Oh, they're so cool. I want to hang out with them. And the problem with that, it starts with I. It doesn't start with them. So a lot of times we come into community because of our own preferences, but family is about commitment regarding its preferences. You know, here we have Angelique's son. He's her son. Regardless of whatever preferences he has about the family, that's his mom. Come on. That's just it. You know, we are connected, even though sometimes I prefer that you act differently. It doesn't matter because we're still in covenant and we're still in bond. To be in family is not about my comfort, but it's about my destiny. Because it's about a DNA that we have together. I recognize that DNA in that family because that's my family, because they carry a DNA that I've been carrying all my life, and I've maybe never seen it defined, but when I'm around them, I go, oh, this is it. This is home. This is what it's like. So Pastor Jack was here a couple weeks ago, almost a month ago now, and he stood on this platform and he said, God is taking Father's house from a house to a home. Listen, anybody could build a house, but a house isn't necessarily a home. People can come and go out of a house, but a home is where you belong. A home is there's a place where you're knitted together by something deeper than the preferences. It's because you're knitted together by destiny and purpose. And we need to understand that the foundations of the kingdom are what we talked about, these things, agape love, covenant, and honor. So let's go ahead and let's turn to John, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 12. And again, I'm going to substitute the word love that you see there for agape. That's not a different word. That is just one of the Greek words for love. There are four Greek words for love in the New Testament. The most common one, whenever it talks about God and love or loving one another, it's speaking this word agape, which is a love that emerges and comes out of God. It's not the love that I get when I connect with somebody and like, whoa, dude, we have so much in common. It's not that kind of love. It's a different kind of love. It's the love that comes from the Father. We're going to explain a little bit more about that love here as we read it on. But it says this, beloved, let us agape one another, for agape is from God. He's the source. And everyone who agape is born of God and knows God. You cannot agape love unless you're born of God. The people of this world cannot agape you. They can't. If God is not in them, they cannot selflessly love you. It's not possible. Because that only comes from God. The one who does not agape love does not know God, for God is agape. And by this, the agape of God was manifested in us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. There it is. That we would be in him as he is in the Father. And this is agape. Not that we have agape God, but that he agape'd us and sent his Son as appropriation from sin. In other words, he initiated the whole thing. God isn't loving us because we first loved him. No, no, no. We just are responding to this amazing love. Beloved, if God so agape'd us, we ought to also agape one another. And no one has seen God at any time, but if we agape one another, God abides in us. The evidence of Jesus working in our midst is that we love as he loves us. If we agape one another, God abides with us and his agape is perfected in us. It is worked out over time. That means that I may not have this thing all together. I may not understand it all, but I'm working at it with you. We're engaging. We're entering into this thing. Last week, we talked about agape love being the foundation for freedom in all relationships. And if you weren't here, get the CD if you don't do the online thing. We have about four CDs we make every Sunday for the messages. So they're back there. Or it's also available online at fathershouseportland.org. This love that we've known on the earth has mostly been eros love. And it's what we call love with a hook. Because it says, oh, I'm going to love you. I'm going to commit it to you. And I want you to be committed to me. Oh, I need this from you. So I will give you love because I know that I'm going to get something in return. That's pretty much how the world loves. It's got a hook of performance. And here's the thing about that love. There's fear in that love. You know why there's fear in that love? Because if I don't perform according to the standard that you have for me, and for our relationship, then you're going to withdraw yourself. There's fear of punishment in that kind of love. It makes sense why John had to speak to us about that. Because we think that's love. And he's saying, no, no, no. The way the Father loves you is totally different. The way that you're supposed to love one another is totally different. Agape love never wounds you, but eros love will wound you because you may have already been wounded by relationships that punished you when you did not perform according to the standard they had set for the relationship. That kind of love requires something from you in order to keep it coming back at you. And that's why in that love there is punishment. So John says, hey guys, perfect love casts out this fear that you walk, that we're walking in a relationship and there's always this fear. There's always this tentative situation. Am I going to be accepted? You can forget about it. There is no fear in agape because agape will never punish you because it's never about your performance. It's never about how you're acting. Agape is given for the sake of the recipient, not for the sake of the giver. Therefore, the way the recipient acts or behaves is irrelevant. Wow, it's irrelevant. It's not based on your behavior. It does not seek to control nor punish. It's a self-sacrificial love that gives without requiring from the recipient. It's what I call an unmotivated love. What does that mean? It's not motivated by anything you do. God didn't love me because of something I did. And here's the problem with all of this. Yeah, but if I love that way, people can do whatever they want. Yes, they can. Jesus went to the cross and people can still go, don't care, don't want it. He still go to the cross. Because that's agape. Agape is not based on how you're going to respond. It comes from this place that says, they're worth it. I'm going to give it to them. So this unmotivated love, it's in this agape love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We had not performed. We had not obeyed. He loved. It's purely given for our sake. It's covenant-making love. I was going to say covenantal love, and that's really complicated for my Cuban mouth. So I'll say it's covenant-making love. It's a love that says, I'm going to make a covenant with you so that you and I can know one another. Which is upside down from the world, because in the world it says, if we get along, if you prove yourself to be worthy, then I'll make a covenant that we will be in relationship. But in the kingdom, the covenant is made so that we can be in relationship. That is the big difference. Covenant can be so we're in relationship. And relationship exists because of the covenant. The covenant says, I value our relationship so much that I'm going to keep you in a place of honor. Covenant is the cup that honor flows out of. We're going to talk about honor here. Honor is the foundation of how we're to engage in this relationship. Romans 12:10 says this, be kind and affectionate to one another with love, and in honor, give preference to one another. See, honor is how we live the value system of agape love. It just like love is given for the sake of the recipient, so is honor. Honor elevates that person into a place of value. Honor is the currency of heaven for the transactions of relationship. That is how heaven works. Look at how the Father honored the Son. Before Jesus went to the cross, before he had preached any message, before he performed any miracles, what did the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am so pleased. He came and honored his Son and said, this is my Son. And because he was honored, the Son goes like, okay, I can do this. My dad is for me. Honor lifts us up into the place of our function where we belong. Yeah. That's what the honor does for one another. And look at how Jesus was honored when he ascended to heaven. The Father says, come here, sit at my right hand, and I'm going to make you far above all rulers, powers, and authority. Not now, not just now, but in the ages to come. Right. I'm going to put you in a high place of honor. But what does the son do with that honor? He honors the father back and says, I'm not going to do anything on my own. I'm only going to say what the father's saying, and I'm going to do what the father's doing. And the Holy Spirit in the turn says the same thing. I'm not going to reveal myself. I'm going to reveal Jesus to you. When I come to make Jesus known. He walks in a place of honoring Jesus all the time. When the Holy Spirit is present, what happens, I get to know Jesus. I get to hear what Jesus is saying. He's declaring. And in turn, Jesus honors the Holy Spirit by saying, there is one sin I will not forgive. The one that I honor, the Holy Spirit, you cannot blaspheme against. Jesus so elevates the Holy Spirit, says, I'll fight for him. Because the Holy Spirit is gentle as a dove. That's the level of honor Jesus puts the Holy Spirit as. So, we're commanded to love as we've been loved. In the same way, we're to honor as we have been honored. Who do we honor? Okay, Proverbs 39:9 is just one of many scriptures that says that we are to honor the Lord. 1 Peter 2:17 tells us that we're to honor governmental authority. Doesn't matter if you voted for them or not. These were kings who just ruled over people and weren't always nice. It's honor them. 1 Peter 1:3-1 tells wives to honor their husband. And verse 11 says, husbands, honor your wife. 1 Timothy 5:3 tells us to honor the widows. And it says, okay, that's a pretty good complete list. So that's who we're supposed to honor, right? Well, there's just one more really kind of important one. And that's 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Oh, there's lots of dishonorable people out there. I'm supposed to honor them? Yeah. There you are. Honor all people. Here's what we got to know about this thing called honor. Like agape. We do not give honor as a reward for honor received. See, the world works the other way. Well, I'm only going to respect them if they respect me. I'm going to only show honor if they honor me. And in the kingdom, it's upside down. It says, no. Honor changes them. It elevates them to the right place where they should be. See, we're to give honor to establish honor and freedom in our relationships with one another, because honor allows you to be free from other people's behavior ever controlling you. And what do I mean by that? If you don't live a life based on covenant honor, heavenly honor, then we become dependent on other people's behavior if we're going to ever honor, love, or be committed to them, because we put them in charge. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me put it this way. When I say, I will honor you when you show me honor, you just put them in charge of your behavior. Do you get that? That if you say, I'm going to honor you if you honor me, you just put them in charge of how you're going to behave. They just became lord of your life. And we do that all the time in relationships in this world. That's why relationships crash. Ah! If I say, I'm going to honor you if you honor me, then I'm living a life of reaction. I'm just reacting to what they're doing. But because we're in this covenant of agape that says, it's going to be given to you regardless of your behavior, I don't have to respond to other people's behavior. The only performance I have in my relationship, a standard of, is how am I loving? How am I reflecting Jesus right now? Not how are they treating me. That's when God steps in the middle of stuff and says, oh, I got to defend my boy here, because they're totally messing with him, because he's being pure and he's being honorable and they're not. So I'm going to deal with it because he's the judge. I let God judge those kinds of situations. My response is, how am I doing? Am I behaving as Jesus would behave in this situation? My only standard performance is, how am I loving? Because then I'm free and I'm not controlled by anybody in my relationship circle. Because I'm only being controlled by agape. And so, what happens when people don't act according to the standard of agape, the standard of love and the standard of honor, if the people around us are not doing that? And you know, we're going to do that because we're going to fall short in relationships. So we're going to sometimes act like not who we really are supposed to be, who we're called to be. Sometimes we just kind of like life gets on us and we behave differently. Sort of, you guys ever seen the Snickers commercial? Okay, why don't we watch this?
Can we turn the AC up? I'm dying back here.
It's on. Can't you feel it?
Can you feel that?
Oh. Jeff, eat a Snickers, please.
Why?
Every time you get hungry, you turn into a diva. Just eat it so we can all coexist.
Turn into a diva.
Mm-hmm. In your system, cranky pants.
Okay.
Thank you.
Better?
Better.
Will you get your knees out of the back of my seat?
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
You're not you sometimes. Honor restores you. There is so much freedom when I don't live a life of reaction. Do you think that heaven is up there going like, angels, did you see what Satan is doing? Do you see the deception he's putting on all the people? Oh my God. Oh, I'm God. Oh, wow. Well, do you think that's what heaven is doing? No. No. Heaven is not reacting to hell. I've learned this from studying warfare and self-defense. If you react, you are in the inferior position. So if I act first, I put you in the inferior position because you have to react to me. So true warriors always call on their training. Don't react to what's happening. What does your training tell you to do? Only act on your training. We need to be trained in the ways of agape and honor. So we're in a situation. I don't respond to what's happening. I say, whoa, whoa. I know my training. I know what I'm supposed to do right now. I'm not reacting to this. You know, oftentimes I've learned this in spiritual warfare. I've learned to not react to what Satan is doing, but to go into the heavenly place and say, Father, what are you doing? And often what he'll have me do seems to have nothing in response to what Satan is doing. It's like, wait a minute. Aren't we going to address that thing? He goes, no, come over here and give me praise. Come over here and do this thing. And what happens when I engage in who I'm called to be and the things I'm supposed to release, Satan gets taken care of. So now, whenever we live in reaction to somebody's behavior, we get taken emotionally captive by them. Offenses rise up. All these things rise up because we put other people in control of how we're going to respond when our basic motivation is an agape and honor. And this is, like I said, tough stuff, because it's about renewed mind and renewed thinking. It's about kingdom versus what we call life. Parents, can I give you a tip? Never react to your children's misdeeds. Just realign them to who they're supposed to be. I learned early on, or not early on, a little late in the game, that I needed to stop responding to my kids' misdeeds and needed to just realign them to who they were supposed to be. Give them the Snickers bar. We got to give the Snickers bar to one another. We got to give each other the bar of honor and love and say, hey, whoa, whoa, dude, eat some honor for a little bit. You know, get yourself back into who you are. Covenant love and honor is never an anxiety because it's never reactive. It just isn't. It's proactive. It's looking to release what heaven is releasing in the midst of situations that would sometimes religion and life would have trained us to act differently. Let me just end with this story. So I was a young adult pastor, and there was a young man who was liked very much by a lot of people. He was a supernatural born leader. I kept going like, man, that guy needs to just get on fire for God. And there was a sense of him that I knew that wanted God. But one day I had preached a message on the love of the Father, and he comes up and he starts to weep and he says, my dad left me when I was a kid and I've never gotten over it. And today I'm an alcoholic and I sleep with women every week. And I know that it's wrong, but I can't stop. And I didn't go like, oh my God, you're doing that? Jesus, we got to get you in the office. All right, well, what are we going to do to get you to stop drinking? I just said, Father, what do you think of him? And the Lord starts to just pour his love over him and says, you're my beloved son. I've been waiting for you. I've been longing for you to come home. And I just started speaking, and he just starts bawling tears. His shirt just wet with tears. And I hugged him and I said, you're going to be my son, and you're welcome home. I said, now, look at me. Every time you feel tempted, call me. Every time you want to sleep with a woman, call me. And he did. I would be like, 2 o'clock in the morning, dude, okay, this woman called me, and I just, no. Who are you? What are you supposed to say? You're a son. Sons don't treat daughters that way. I reminded him of who he was. I realigned him every time. Realigned him. We did this for about 3 months. Finally, he's sitting in my office. He's just telling me about the victories he's had in his life and the freedom that he's having from alcohol. And I said, hey, you want to come work with me in the young adult leadership? He goes, what? He says, well, you're a son. Let's get to work. A son had come home. Religion would have put all kinds of things on that boy. He came on to help plant this church, and after this church, he planted another church in Vancouver. And he carried a message of the Father's love. Not because I became that father to him, because all I did is point him to his Father. Let me give you a pointer about pastoring. Embrace them and have them embrace Jesus. That's your job. Have them embrace Jesus. Because you will fail them. But he won't. And I said that to him. I will probably not pick up the phone with him sometimes. But keep trying. Because you're worth it. I want Dean to come up. This is a DNA that I believe God wants in this house. It's this DNA that says, hey, son, you're home. You're home. It's a DNA worth fighting for because it brings freedom. It brings freedom to you. How would you like to be free in relationship? There's like, woo! He's like, wow, did you see the way they just treated you? Yeah, they're just off today. They're really off today. But I'm okay. Because I know that my job is just to honor and restore and point them towards truth and love in love. It's about letting go of control. I cannot control you. I do not want to control you. And I'm not going to let you control me either. How you respond is not going to make me respond differently than how I'm trained to respond. I'm not going to put myself outside and try to respond. I can't respond. If I try to respond to Eros, I will give Eros. So I'm just going to live in agape. Can we commit to saying, Father, show us this kingdom of honor. Show us this kingdom of this agape love. Let us beat with the heartbeat of Jesus that while we were in our grave of offenses, according to Ephesians 2:5 and Romans 5:8, while we were in our grave of offenses, he loved us and gave his life for us. Because Jesus bestowed on us such a great honor. The honor the Father gave him to be his son. He says, now I bestow that upon you. Come into my Father's kingdom as sons and daughters. This is the honor we're called to bestow on one another. And if we create this culture of honor here, it will become a home to our Father and a home to sons and daughters. Not because everything here is what I prefer. No, because it's destiny. It's DNA. It's calling. A people who do not lay honor down because they've dishonored. But awaken others to the love of God because of how we respond in love. So I want you to close your eyes right now. I believe that my vision, what I see happening in this whole thing is that we come here and it feels like family. And it feels like home. I belong. I belong to these people and they belong to me. And because I see Jesus in them. I want to pull that Jesus out because I honor the Jesus they carry. I honor the way they reveal Jesus in that, the way they devote themselves to the poor or the way they devote themselves to their families. I love the agape that I see, the way they welcome people in. I want to welcome people like that. So I want to be in them and have them be in me. I want that. I want that kind of relationship where I see Jesus in other people and I say, I want that you carry Fred. I want that you carry Jerry. I want that in me. And that is how we become John 17, that we are in one another as Christ is in us, because we're pulling Jesus out of one another. And then what if we leave this place and it's like Sunday's a homecoming family celebration, and then we leave and it says home feels so good that I want to take it to where I go. I'm going to team up with a couple of people and we're going to go to this group of single moms and we're going to create home for them. We're going to introduce them to the culture of honor and the culture of agape love. And we're going to welcome them into the Father's heart and the Father's home. And suddenly our home is not just here on Sunday mornings, but it's out where you are. That's what I see. That's what I see. That's what I see. Where we show people that there's a love that does not have a hook. There's an honor that calls them and restores them to who they're supposed to be. Would you just stand to your feet right now, just as we go? Honor looks like something, just like love looks like something. Honor lifts a person up and says, I see this in you. It's like, I see Darcy. And I see the kindness of her heart. And it's beautiful. I'm glad she's my sister. I really am. I was like, man. She's kind like Jesus is kind. You know, I see others in this room. And I see Jesus. And I remind them, do you know that you look like Jesus? How? Because of your eager heart for his presence? The presence of the Father? I think Jesus would be that way. He'd want to be with his Father. You had that. I think that it would be wonderful to just say, Lord, show me how I can elevate people up with honor. Not puff them up, but really honor them for who they are in Jesus. So let's do something right now for a few minutes. I'm going to actually time it. I want you to just get with some people. Just two or three, and I want you to just lay hands on the person to your right, and I want you to just pray a prayer of honor over them. Just release the honor of the Lord over their lives right now. Just release that prayer of honor. Just say, Lord, I honor who they are. I honor what they carry. I bless them. Just do that right now for 30 seconds. Just do that, and then we're going to trade here in another 30 seconds. Switch. If you're being prayed for, you pray for the person that just prayed for you. Okay. All right. This is good. That we honor one another as we've been honored and brought into family. I want to now just bless you as we get ready to go. So I want to just have you put your hands out in front of you as to receive. So put your hands out. Father, we have our hands before us that we may receive a greater revelation through the fire of your Spirit that burns in us. How to honor as we have been honored. how to lift up others to their place of beauty and revelance in your kingdom. How, Lord, to call out the gold in one another. Father, give us such a heart of peace that, Lord, when we are confronted with a situation, we don't react, but we just act according to the training of your spirit in our hearts. So train us, Holy Spirit. Train us to love as Jesus loved. Train us, Lord God, to honor as Jesus honored. Train us to covenant as Jesus covenanted. Train us to become initiators and not just responders and reactors. Because in this world, we need some initiators of your kingdom. So, Father, we receive that now from you as we have asked it. Lord, and in our hands, we carry the weighty presence of the value of the gold of the kingdom. Lord, give us the keys to the kingdom relationships we already have, Lord. How to live a life of covenant. How to, Lord, commit. Yeah. Say, okay, I commit. And then now work it out after I commit. But I commit. I commit to you. I commit to the purposes. I commit. I honor because I have been honored. And I love because I have been loved. So we receive that in Jesus' name. Now may the God of peace sanctify you. May he work himself into your life more and more as you seek him and honor him. As you lift up your voice and say to our God, I lift my voice in praise. Lord, as we give you honor, Lord, thank you that honor, Lord, is returned back to us, Lord, in a portion and a measure that we can live in, Lord, and give away in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a terrific week. Love one another. Prayer team is there available. If you just maybe have a Eros wound in your life and you recognize it like, man, this is just hard. Go get some prayer. Let agape heal the wound.